the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. It's Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man.
There is a pause.
Lots of pause. That's my dramatic face. What's up, guys? Shannon Young, Mr. 100 Irish Daddy's here with you. It's going to grow every week.
I was going to say, every 3 months, there's going to be a new nickname just tacked onto it.
I am the man of 1,000 nicknames. Not Dalton. Not anymore. Down at the end of the table.
He cut the man butt off and nicknames.
He lost a couple nicknames there. Down at the end of the table with only one nickname, because it's the only one that he needs, is the Five-Star Man, Ace of Gray.
It's the only one that I've liked.
Do you like Irish Daddy?
I mean, for you, it works.
I was playing 2K17 earlier, because one of the great things about PlayStation is that I borrowed the game and I had Dalton go to my system that's here at the store and upload my save, and I downloaded it at home. So I have all my characters, mm-hmm. which is awesome, on a brand new PS4. So that was really great. And I asked Allie, I was like, I showed her Cassidy Flynn, who was my Irish character. And I'm like, yeah, I want him to be Finn Balor's, like, his nemesis, you know? And, he's the Irish dad. She's like, I thought you got that from Finn Balor. I was like, oh, hell, I did, didn't it? Well, maybe they can fight for the name Irish Daddy.
Because it didn't come from Finn Balor. It came from a Twitter fan.
It was attributed to Finn Balor.
Yeah, they called him that.
And I wish I looked like Irish Daddy. Oh, that'd be nice.
Who doesn't?
Our next guest, who's there to the right, Allie Hebert. Hi, Allie.
Hello.
You don't want to look like Finn Balor, do you?
No.
Would you? All right, so Allie's a thin girl. If you've met her, she's a thin young lady. Would you want abs like Finn Balor? Because I do, and I'll speak for Asa and say he does.
Seconded.
Yeah.
I think, I feel like having abs like him would look weird on a woman, because I think abs work differently on men. I think they form a little differently.
I don't know about that.
I don't know enough about anatomy to be able to, that doesn't sound right, but I don't know enough about anatomy to dispute it.
I don't know enough about muscles to dispute it, because the few that I have, they don't show up like they do on Finn Balor.
No.
I had a friend named Jerome who was like 84 pounds soaking wet. And when he took his shirt off, he was always really cut. And he would brag about how cut he was. And I would say, well, of course you look cut. You weigh 84 pounds. You know, your muscles show up. Do you want to lift, bro? You want to go against me? Because you won't win. We weren't going to do tonight's show. We were going to do Pro Wrestling Unscripted tonight. And here's why. I'm going to make the announcement now. And if something happens and we go back on it, then just ignore this part. But tomorrow we're going to have a special Pro Wrestling Unscripted, and it's going to be hosted by the Five-Star Man himself. Yay. Sorry, Tanner. Ace of Gray, who doesn't look thrilled about this.
I'm so nervous. You have no idea. Because we're doing the first episode of PW Presents.
Right.
Which is a thing that I've been wanting to do, which is just being able to talk to wrestlers. The original idea I had was like one-on-one, but this works as well.
Yeah.
Or doing like tag teams or like any type of like group of people. And just telling stories.
Yeah.
And you know, road stories, character, training stories. Yeah. It's going to be out of character. Just to get to know the people.
Yeah.
That are playing these characters. And so we're doing the first one tomorrow night with, Southern Discomfort.
Southern Discomfort.
Which is the podcast I think they're starting back up. It's Farmer Billy Hills, Big Roger Mathis, and Sweet Sarah Summers.
Yeah.
So I get to host that.
So Billy messages me and says, hey, you got room on Wednesday for three people. And I thought, no, who do you got? Because no, I don't. And then he mentioned himself and Sarah and, of course, Roger Mathis. And we've been wanting to get Roger Mathis on here for a while. Mm-hmm. We've never had Sarah on the show either. So we'd love to get both of them on here. But the more I thought about it, I was like, man, seven people.
We've done it before.
Yeah, and it was kind of a train wreck.
It's hard to do because we don't have that many mics
or
mic stands.
And not only that, but
table space is limited.
Plus, with a show like this, it's different than Pro Wrestling Unscripted, where we have like a roundtable discussion about what's happening. Mm-hmm. This is going to be much more pointed to them.
This isn't going to be like,
this isn't
just
for us.
They're not just sitting in on an episode of PW, because really there's not a whole lot of happened in wrestling this week.
Right. And the biggest thing that happened, we're not going to talk about because it's personal.
Well,
and there's no proof.
And the thing that we were going to talk about most was probably going to be the Stride show, the benefit show that they did for the Youth Build organization.
And Money in the Bank on Sunday.
Yeah. So, which we may end up doing like a little mini thing.
We might as well, because they were a part of it. You know.
But we'll see how it goes. But there's not going to be like a full hour dedicated to just
Stride and news.
The week in wrestling.
So the more I thought about it, as much as I would love to be here for this, because I love Billy Hills, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, Billy was one of the first people we made friends with in Cape Championship Wrestling, and then in Stride. And Sarah is a delight. I love hanging out with Sarah. Sarah's mm-hmm. just the funniest. I've never met Roger Mathis, so I've met him, but never spoken to him. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen him at the show. You guys have spoken to him. But I thought, who would be better to host this show? Me, who knows Billy and Sarah, knows nothing about Roger Mathis other than how much he frightens me.
Oh, he's terrifying.
Or Asa Gray, who, along with Dalton, who will be on the show tomorrow night, has had way more experience with the three than I have. Mm-hmm. So I thought this is the perfect opportunity for Asa to get his chance to host, because my original goal with Podzilla 1985 is I wanted to have different hosts. I didn't want to host everything. You know, I Jesse came along, thank God, got us all that money from Nerd Up. And then, you know, Cody had his own show on Saturday. I'm sorry. He knows I love him. It's in jest. It's in jest. Cody on Saturday. And he's thinking right now, you say it's in jest, but you clearly took a shot at me. No, I'm not taking a shot. You're not wrong in the statement you made, just for the record. Cody had his show on Saturday. And then what I liked about PW before was that Hunter, I know I was the host, quote unquote, but I really feel like Hunter hosted it and I just got to talk. Mm-hmm. Hunter drove the conversation, you know? Now with PW, I drive the conversation. And then on Thursdays, I drive the conversation. And then on Tuesdays, generally, I drive the conversation. I say it's way more 50-50 on that show. But this, I'm really excited for you to get a chance to drive the conversation. I want to see what you can do. I know you're going to do a good job.
Oh, and I don't. See, cause, okay, so this is something like, and if we want to get into it, we can, but like, the last, like, when did we record the first commentary thing for CCW? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
Probably closer to three. Yeah.
Okay, so ever since then, my brain has been a jerk.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just been like from the first like thing we did commentary, it's just like when Osby sent us the link to be able to like listen to it, like, hey, here's the show with your commentary. If you want to check it out, it's like, nope, I sure don't. Cause I don't like me.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm nervous, especially because like Billy and Sarah and even like, and the reason that I'm really excited to, for this to even be a show, like even if you were hosting it and I wasn't, like just to be able to listen to it, not this past Stride show, but the one before it when they were back in Marion, we had dinner with Billy and Sarah and Roger, and just hearing them talk about like ring psychology and stuff like that. It's just like, oh, they are so smart.
Yeah.
Like I'm excited to hear, like to be able to pick their brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, like they're such big personalities. Like I'm nervous to be able to kind of like keep it targeted and like reined in.
No, that's the best shows, because then you can just play moderator and let them just riff. Yeah. You know, give them a, hey, what do you think of this? And then let them talk.
Right.
I think you're going to knock it out of the park. Dalton's going to be there. He'll back you up. Dalton's always good. You guys have such a good rapport with each other and with these guys. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to do a better job than I would have done. And plus, I'm happy to take a step down and take a night off. You know, because normally when Shannon takes a night off, the show doesn't happen. But now it will. And going forward, if Shannon ever takes time off, because I am going to Pennsylvania here in the next couple of months at some point. So I'll be gone for a week. And then, you know, you never know what's going to happen with the show eventually. I really would like it to become more community driven and less just Shannon does all this and, you know, we're all on the show. So I'm excited. I think you're going to do great. I'm going to listen to it. I don't often listen to Podzilla shows anymore just because I'm here for most of them. And then I'll catch Nerd Up, but usually I've been CNN and Trump and stuff like that is what I spend most of my time watching. Allie can testify to that.
Yeah.
So I don't have a lot of time for things that are good. Mm-hmm. I would rather surround myself with misery. And Nerd Up is a shining beacon of enjoyment. So I brush that aside and bring on Morning Joe, because that'll make me feel worse about life.
Yay.
So that'll be tomorrow. You're going to have Asa Gray hosting Pro Wrestling Unscripted. It's a special episode. Mm-hmm. We're calling it PW Presents.
Yep.
And we're going to have Dalton Anthony's going to be on there, of course. And then our special guests, really happy to have them, Farmer Billy Hills, Sweet Sarah Summers, and Big Roger Mathis mm-hmm. from Stride and CCW.
Yep.
So that's going to be great.
And it is something that, like, the reason that it's only like me and Dalton the tomorrow is because we have three people on as guests.
Right.
But like, I would love to do, I want to do one with Austin Lane. I want to do like an extended one like we had for that, the bonus PW thing we did before right. the CCW.
And we'll have Cody Wilson on in the next couple weeks. And we'd love to pick his brain.
Like I want to have Brandon on. I'd love to have like Jeff, just Hollis. Anyone, like anyone who's willing to do
the
it.
Hustlers.
I want to be able to talk to, just because it's like, so this is something that, popped up on my Facebook, and I'm going to make a longer status about it, but it told me that it's like, so far this year, I've made 50 new Facebook friends. Mm. It's like, oh, that's kind of nuts. And then I realized almost all of those, like some of them are from work, like probably maybe 10, but like the rest of them are wrestlers, people working within wrestling, or fans.
Yeah.
And I just think that's...
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's especially cool because I'm proud of the fact, and I don't want to turn this into a whole wrestling episode, obviously. Yeah. If you guys are here for the lulls, give us about 5 more minutes.
We'll get there.
We'll get to the lulls. But one of the things that I'm happiest about with this wrestling stuff is that we didn't have to like star chase anybody. Mm-hmm. And we weren't like adding everyone as a friend going, oh my God, I'm in the biz.
I still feel weird about that. Like, cause I've added more people than have added me. Mm-hmm. But like, and usually it's when Dalton says like, oh yeah, so this person's Facebook. And I was like, oh, you're friends with them on Facebook? Okay. Well, if it's okay for you to add them, then I'll piggyback on yours. But I'm never like the first one to like jump into the.
Oh yeah. Like, I had the butterflies. The very first person I added was Sexy Sarge. Mm-hmm. After the first CCW show we went to. And I was like, he didn't want to be friends with me, but I'm going to take a chance. And then he added me. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh my God, Sarge.
And then flash forward 10 months later, yeah. He's kissing you on the
full
mouth.
Full on kissing me on the mouth. And pretending he doesn't know you, hopefully.
Yep. Yeah, I'm really hopefully. Pretending.
So yeah, that's tomorrow. Please listen. It's going to be great. So I saw this. I just want to bring this up real quick. There's no point to this, but I just saw it on. I do browse CNN, and mm-hmm. when we're doing the show sometimes, especially today, Attorney General Jeff Sessions was doing testimony. We're not going to talk about that, because nothing really to talk about. Mm-hmm. There's really not. It is what it is. You can go to CNN yourself and find it, but I did find a story that made me laugh, and I just wanted to share it. Apparently in Texas, in Waco, Texas, and you automatically know you're in for a treat when it's from Waco. Allie, do you remember Waco, Texas?
No.
Remember David Koresh?
No.
A lot of people died. Don't worry about it. Bad place. Was it Waco, Texas? It was Waco, Texas, wasn't it?
I mean, something happened in Waco. I'm pretty sure it was that botched FBI thing.
Raid on the compound.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to look it up real quick. Waco siege. Okay. I'm so sorry.
So what happened in Waco?
So there was a siege on a compound.
No, the new one.
Oh, right. So a woman thought that McDonald's was taking too long to cook her nuggets. So she called 911.
Really, that has Florida man written all over it. Like, but I mean, I guess Texas works too.
By the way, I love Florida man. And yes, it was David Koresh in the Waco. I had to Jesse it. I had to prove myself right.
Oh, no, like I wouldn't have been able to pick the name out. I just knew the thing that had happened. Broad strokes.
She called 911 because she wanted them for free mm-hmm. because she waited too long. They said no. So she parked in the drive-thru lane and refused to leave. Which they called the cops on her.
I can only imagine that that interaction was, ma'am, if you don't leave, we're going to call the cops. They're already on their way.
Yeah. What's going to happen then?
Yeah. Let's see whose side gets here first.
It says the woman got her money back, but she left the restaurant nuggetless.
Well, that's just heartbreaking.
You hate to see sad endings like that.
I hate people.
I do too.
Man, gosh.
If that's not a good way to start the show, I don't know how.
That's like the kid... called 911 because his babysitter wouldn't give him candy or something like that. Just
oh my,
those are so, like every
some
once,
of them are funny.
Every once in a while, stuff like that will pop up where it's just like ridiculous 911 calls.
Like the kid that called to tell the officer that he went to the bathroom.
I missed that one.
He was just like, I pooped, and there was like, you did?
Uh huh.
Good job.
Do you have an adult that we need to talk to? Or oh, he just fell down the stairs. He told me to call you. I don't know why, but I pooped.
He's not here. They're all gone. Haven't seen him in weeks.
Send him to the cornfield.
Oh. That's a Children of the Corn reference.
I know.
Did you?
Yes.
You did. Who wrote Children of the Corn?
Wasn't that a Twilight Zone reference?
Well, you said cornfield and children. I assume Children of the Corn.
No, it's the little... It's the kid who... If he doesn't get his way, he sends the adults to the cornfield.
Is it the one they based that Simpsons Halloween episode on, where Bart like has the gnarly powers and no one can tell him no?
Yeah,
yeah.
And like American Dad did a thing.
Yeah,
where,
that was Twilight Zone. Yeah.
American Dad did the thing where he couldn't. He just had all of his neighbors arrested and detained because they were making fun of him.
I like American Dad.
So that he sent him to the cornfield inn. It's a motel off the highway because they had to. We have to. This house is critical to the war on terror.
We used to have something we called the farm. Mm-hmm. The farm at GameStop. When you got fired, you got sent to the farm, and it was just the best place. There were games you could play with everyone. You could run. You'd be free. I got sent to the farm circa 2007. No. I stayed there for a while. It's about 2011-ish. Yeah, that's when I was sent to the farm. Hunter got sent to the farm a little bit before me. A lot of people got sent to the farm for stupid reasons. Mine was justified.
Well, a lot of people like to steal cookies. Wasn't that not the phrase that you guys used? One of the GameStop shows, you talked about how there was someone who would just like blatantly steal discs.
Oh, Matt Hernandez. Yeah. Well, no, he wouldn't even just steal discs. I just put him on blast. Matt, if you're listening, you're not. You're in jail probably. It doesn't matter. but yeah, he would fake trade in. Mm-hmm. He would trade in games that didn't exist. And then when I would do counts, they wouldn't be there. And I would go, how are we missing all these games? And he would tie all of them to the same name, which was my friend Colnan, who worked in the mall. So I went to Colden and I was like, hey, did you trade these games in? He was like, no, I've never seen those games. So I went, huh. And then I tracked it down that he was then buying stuff on the card that he stole from with his discount.
That's not the best.
He wasn't the smartest guy. The funny thing is his girlfriend blamed us and said that we got him fired. And
technically
she's right. To his credit, he did tell her, no, I stole. They didn't do anything. She's like, no, it's their fault. Sure.
I mean, if you guys would have just let him keep stealing,
yeah,
then
it's a victimless crime, like punching someone in the dark. You know?
I don't think that's how that works.
What?
Not entirely sure, though.
I'm really sad that we're saving the E3 talk for Sunday because I really want to talk about E3.
I do too. There's a handful of things that I'm...
But I feel like we probably could talk about it because Jesse's not going to talk about everything on Sunday. You can't fit all of that into 1 hour.
I mean, we've already talked about some of it, and I think he's already said that it's going to be a longer than an hour episode.
Oh, is that this Sunday?
Yeah, it's Money in the Bank.
Oh, how are you doing that?
In the morning show.
And he wants me to be on?
Thankfully, my manager told me, like, because I'm trying to give my shift away because I'm supposed to work Sunday morning. Mm. Like, I'm supposed to work at, like, noon, and I'm hoping to be able to ride up with, like, Dalton and whoever else is going.
Right.
But if I don't get off work until, like, 4, then I'm just going to have to book it up there as soon as I get off. But my manager already told me because I told her it was my birthday on Friday, which it is. And I was like, yeah, so we came into these tickets, so we weren't going to do anything, but now we're going to go. And she's like, I mean, Sundays have been really slow, and Father's Day is always a notoriously slow Sunday.
Is it really?
It really is.
That's interesting.
Because Father's Day, at least my family, and apparently a lot of other families, like, they grill. Like, the barbecue day. That's the day that dad gets to pick the meat and he makes what he wants.
Right.
Whereas Mother's Day is the traditional, like, let's take mom out and treat her. This is dad's day of, I'm going to grill, leave me alone.
I don't like that day because when dad used to grill, he would grill in the morning and we'd eat in the evening. Doesn't matter what it was. Like, 4th of July, he would cook hamburgers at 7 in the morning and then we'd eat them at 8 and 9 at in the evening. They were basically hockey pucks at that point.
Why?
Because dad
just left it. He left it on the grill the whole time?
Well,
No.
He cooked them and then just sat them there. He put tinfoil on the plate. He would sit it in the kitchen or outside where we were going to be. And then 12 or so hours would pass.
And just let it get right up to room temperature.
Yeah. And
that's what we call the safe zone for food.
Oh.
Being sarcastic, by the way, internet, because no, that's so bad. The only way that's acceptable is when you're like slow cooking something or like you're smoking ribs or something. Throw it on
if it was a brisket, you're doing it right.
No,
but
these were just
hamburgers,
plain old hamburgers and hot dogs. You ever had a hot dog at room temperature after 12 hours?
The only time my grandpa and my stepdad have ever gotten into any kind of, like, it was never an argument, but like a point of contention, we'll say, is my stepdad taught me how to eat like grilled foods. So it's, you know, everything's medium rare. Burgers are not, you know, super done. Hot dogs aren't coming off the grill black. But my grandpa loves, like, well-done.
Me too.
Everything.
Yeah.
And so...
Hot dogs, at least. Yeah. No. The blacker and flakier, the better.
So, and my granddad likes to insist on cooking for everyone. And, you know, my stepdad will try to be like, well, you can, you know, if you want to take mine off a little early, you can. No, you know, you gotta make sure it's all the way done. It's like, well, no, it's done. And that's always or then Paul will insist that he wants to cook.
Right.
Could have left it on a little bit longer, couldn't you?
Ooh,
it's
that's
just every time. So it's always, they've come to an agreement that they will now prepare each other's thing the way that the other likes it. It just kind of took a little bit of team building to get there.
One of the points in the win column for being an orphan is that my parents, my dad didn't like other people to tell him how to cook. He knew how to cook. Mm-hmm. His version of cooking was taking a pot, throwing things in it. It was kind of like Breath of the Wild. Throw as many items in as you can, up to 5, and then cook it and see what comes out. It's just like, I ate a lot of monster parts and I didn't like it.
Questionable. What was it? What's the gross food? The questionable.
What is it, Ethan?
Dubious food.
Yeah. I ate a lot of dubious food.
I've always been lucky because Paul's a really good cook. My mom is a good cook, but she has bad luck. a lot of the time. Like, something is, whenever my mom's cooking, there is usually...
like, power goes out?
No, never that bad, but, like, there's usually a string of expletives, we'll say, at some point. And we always kind of poke fun at mom about that, because my mom does cook very well. But one time, she was warming up the oven because my stepdad had a bowling league or something, so we were on our own for dinner, and we just were going to have, like, a frozen pizza or something. So my mom warmed up the dinner, and we went into the basement so she could walk on the treadmill, and we were watching TV. And so all of a sudden the smoke alarm goes off. So we go upstairs, see what's going on, and the kitchen is just filled with smoke. My stepdad had left something in the oven from the night before. So it was just it was the tray, whatever it was, and then like paper towel or something. Or like the baking sheet, and that caught on fire and started smoking up pretty bad. This is the first thing I told her, or I told him, like, as soon as he got home, because I was a little punk.
You snitched?
And, oh, yeah, totally. Just because it was funny. And I was like, this was still at the time where me and Paul didn't necessarily, like, we never didn't get along, but it was always kind of, it was at the height of the whole, we are just totally different people, and I'm a, you know, preteen teenager, so I think that you're stupid. You're a grown man.
And you know
so,
I'm stupid.
So you know that I'm stupid.
Right.
And so, you know, but that was always the thing that we would always bond over, is just kind of poking fun at mom.
I enjoy, my mom's a good, she's really good at baking. She's good at cooking things, but she prefers like steak and stuff well done, and the rest of my family doesn't. And so we kind of don't let her cook those. Or she finally learned when to take everyone else's off and leave hers in. But I like baking with my mom because she's kind of spacey when we bake. So we were making, like, Christmas time, we make cookies. A whole bunch of different kinds. We were making...
That's unusual, but okay.
We were making...
Cookies at Christmas time? Like hell you say.
One of the ones we were doing were sugar cookies. We were going to make them look like snowmen. And... she was making a batch and I was making a batch. She puts hers in the oven. I turn around because I need an egg and there aren't eggs out. And she's looking at me. She goes, you need an egg? As hers are in the oven. I'm like, yeah, mom, there's a picture of an egg on the bag.
Did she offer you an egg in these trying times?
And she was like, oh, they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
They're still good. They're still good. I thought my parents knew how to cook. Well, I knew my dad didn't know how to cook. Like, my dad knew how to cook for my dad. Mm-hmm. He was a simple guy. Beans every other day. Meat hunks. Mm-hmm. If I ever heard the term meat hunks, it was from my dad. Mom was a little bit more specific when she cooked. And I liked my mom's cooking, but I didn't know what real cooking was until I met Lindsay. And then she cooked, and then I met Allie, and she cooked, and the two of them together, it's like, I didn't know food could be this way. So you're saying you can bread the chicken?
That was something.
That's crazy talk.
I don't remember. There was some comedian talking about, like, the first time you go to your friend's house, and their parents are better cooks than your parents.
Ooh.
And so everyone thinks that, like, your mom makes the best spaghetti. Like, everyone's own mom, like,
my
makes
mom
the
did make
best
the best spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
That's true.
But then you go to your friend's house, and you're like, oh. And you can never say it.
Yeah.
You can never say it.
She can never know.
And that was one of the things that I always, cause like my great grandma was an amazing cook. Like that was one of the best things about like staying with her as long as I did was that like she would always make just the best food. My grandma was a great cook. My granddad's a really good cook too. Like he's started making bread, like homemade bread. And it's always like really, really good. And then my mom is a good cook and Paul has always been a really good cook. And I would have friends over, and they would always just be, like, super complimentary. And I just thought it was normal.
That like, was just the compliments
yeah,
they
like,
give
I didn't,
out, yeah.
Well, not even that. Just, like, they were going above and beyond. Like, I knew the food was good, but they were making it out like, oh, this is amazing. And I'm just like, well, I mean, it's food. Like, isn't all food supposed to, like, food is good, right?
No. No, eat with my family. No. Like, Dad, the only thing he cooked better than Mom was lasagna. He made a killer lasagna. And
my mom makes one.
Well, my mom decided to make one once and she should have known better. I wish mom was alive so I could tell her you should have known better one more time. But she put chunks of tomato in it. That is a no. If ever you want to cook for Mr. 100 and you don't want to be a former friend that's blocked on Facebook, you don't put tomato chunks in anything. Mm-hmm. Who likes that?
Great.
So.
Raise his hands
slowly.
Do
you like that?
I love tomatoes.
There are lots of people that like tomatoes.
But I can't do chunks in stuff. Like, when I have
like,
pizza.
Are you talking like like sliced tomato or like wedges of tomato or
like
just,
wedges, like almost like wedges of tomato cut up.
Okay. Doesn't, or even diced.
Yeah. I don't
something
like to,
diced tomatoes.
Here's how I like to eat tomato. I will take a tomato and eat it. Mm-hmm. And that's delicious. That's it. That's as far as it goes. If you put tomato on anything, I will throw up.
It has to be completely like pureed into a sauce.
I like
for him
sauce.
To eat it.
Tomato sauce is good. But yeah, if I know there are tomato chunks in it and I taste it or I feel the texture, I will almost throw up. I don't know why. It's like my trigger food wise.
Huh.
Yeah. And mom did that. So the first time I took a bite, this hunk of tomato was in it and I almost threw up, but because it was mom, mm-hmm. I ate that shit. And that was one of my biggest regrets in life was eating it, but I did not want to disappoint my mom. That's like when at Christmas time, I know we're getting off topic, but I told my mom the whole year, I want a PlayStation. This is when PlayStation 1 came out.
Oh, yeah.
This is how old this was. I want a PlayStation. Christmas Day comes. I open up all my gifts. I've told this story before, but I love it. Mm-hmm. And mom says, there's one more gift for you in the trunk. And I go, no. So I go out and open it up, and there's a bag from Game, like Babbage or whatever, and I open up, it's a Sega Genesis. I wanted Bone Storm.
It's the Lee Trevino's Golf. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the one I wanted.
Anytime my mom makes lasagna, she just buys stuff to make two. So, like, she'll make one for her and Paul, and then she'll just be like, hey, so there's a lasagna in the fridge. You just have to bake it. So I like when they decide to make lasagna because that means I get a free lasagna.
I miss lasagna. Lasagna was one of my favorite foods. Italian is my favorite food in general. Like, that's the best.
I was actually thinking about this when we were at when Dalton and I went to the Hong Kong buffet in Marion before the last Stride show or the second to last Stride show. And I'm trying to think because it's like I've gone through so many different favorite foods. Like, I think right now mine is still seafood. Mm. Like there's just something, it's so good. Maybe it's just because everything comes with butter and butter. It's like Andy Dwyer. Butter is my favorite food.
I like shrimp and I like some fish. I like going to places that have food but I can't stand to smell it cooked. Lindsay tried to make fish once like a year ago and I could not be in the same apartment. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go stand outside. The smell of cooking fish made me sick.
I've cooked salmon around you, but I baked it.
Yeah, no, she probably, I don't know what she did.
If you fry it, it smells a lot
It
stronger.
Smells like fish, yeah. And I don't like it that smell.
Like fish, and salmon is the fishiest fish, like.
I think that's what she cooked.
It's not the most fishiest fish,
because
but
I don't really like fish, but I was able to eat salmon.
I get that a lot at work, and I think it's because it's kind of like a half measure, where it's, you know, you want it, okay, so fish tastes like fish, that's fine. This tastes like, kind of fit, like there's a hint of fish to it, but it doesn't taste like anything else really. So yeah, that's
it's not,
like tilapia will take is like tilapia and shrimp are similar that they will take on the flavor of what they're of how they're cooked. So like if you cook it in butter, it's gonna have a butter taste to it. If you cook it with Cajun seasoning, it's gonna have a spicier taste to it. Like it's kind of neat. Like I haven't made them in forever. Like I think I only made them like twice, but when Stacy and I together, I made tilapia tacos a couple times. And
those were salmon tacos once.
I can only eat fish as fish. You give me a slab of fish and I'll eat it. I love the concept of fish though, that you go out and you fish and you can get it and clean it, not that part, and then you cook that and eat it. Like, I don't know why. I have always loved fishing, even. But
I hate fishing.
You hate fishing?
I do. Dalton and I even talked about this on the drive up there. Like, that was one of the things that Paul would take me to do when we were still very much, you know, different people.
When he was trying to
because
bond.
He loved to fish.
Yeah.
And it was so boring. It was so boring. Like
It kind of is, but it's also relaxing. And there's just something about fishing. And I think I liked it more as a kid because I didn't realize how much it must suck for the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Like even what we did was catch and release.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like to kill fish. I don't like to kill things. So I would fish. I'd pull the hook out and throw them back in. And I know fish don't think. At least not the way I do. Mm-hmm. But if I was that fish, I would have thought, you son of a bitch.
This is the worst thing in the world.
This is a horrible feeling.
Ooh, look, another worm.
Did you ever see the video from Jackass where Steve-O puts the hook through his mouth and they fish with him?
No.
The look of agony on his face is both deserving, hilarious, and uncomfortable. And I cannot imagine how a fish must feel getting a hook put through its mouth. But I also don't like killing the fish or cooking the fish. Did I ever tell you my turtle story about my dad?
Yeah.
Where I let the turtles go because I felt so bad for them.
Which is...
He was going to make turtle soup. And I was like, nay, nay.
But he picks the worst turtles because they're... You make turtle soup with certain type of turtles.
You shouldn't make turtle soup.
I know. I don't like... I've never had turtle soup.
You also shouldn't make frog legs. Because that's disgusting.
But what... Didn't your dad pick... box turtles?
I don't remember. I think so.
You fry anything long enough, it's edible.
Well, I mean, it's edible, so. But like when I was a kid, what we used to eat, my dad, this is the kind of things my dad loved to eat. Chicken gizzards. Mm-hmm. Liver. Like my dad would eat organs. He was a ghoul.
This, and I don't mean this as like any sort of a shot or anything, but did your dad grow up like super poor?
Oh yeah.
And that's why. Cause great granny also, like, she grew up literally during the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was a little girl during the Great Depression. She was born in 1921. So her, like, she would still eat those things, but she knew that the reason she liked them was because she kind of, like, she grew up with them because she had to grow up with them.
Right.
But so she eventually, like, when, you know, times were better, she was able to. And so, like, she would make stuff like that every once in a great while. But it was, that was, like, strictly for her.
I didn't know what a gizzard was back then. And when I found out.
You were like, no.
Never had it again. Because even though we were poor, and I knew we were poor, I still felt I was above it. I was a little prick. Mm-hmm. Like, they were like, I remember once my mom said, you want a sandwich from the store, Jay's IGA in Mount City. I miss it. And they used to have these like pizza pocket things, like hot pockets, but homemade and delicious. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm hungry. And that's great. It's like, okay, here's the link card. And I went, nah, I'm good. I'm not going to use that. I'll starve. I refuse to use any kind of welfare provided to me. I did. I didn't want it even back then. Allie, I'm sorry. I kept cutting you off. You had something.
I was saying, like, my grandma loved liver and onions. That's typically the meal is liver and onions. And she grew up poor. My mom kind of grew up poor. And so my mom had them as a child, but my mom doesn't eat them now.
Yeah, because when you have money, you don't have to eat that. Like, Jesse and I don't eat barbecue sandwiches anymore.
My grandma still
Jesse knows what I'm talking about.
I had to eat a barbecue sandwich at Stride. I was so hungry.
Yeah,
we didn't have a chance to, like, go get some.
When we say barbecue sandwiches, we mean literally bread with barbecue sauce.
Yeah,
that was our, like, barbecue tacos.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse and I bonded over that because he also endured that as a child.
Mine was buttered bread.
Just, like, toast?
No.
No, sorry. No toast. Sorry.
No toast. Just Wonder Bread. Butter.
Oh my God. I've never had that. That's a new one on me.
Butter.
Like, my mom doesn't like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Good on her.
And so
we're gonna circle back to this.
Yeah, we'll come back, but she never made them. Especially for Calvin, because that's their first child. And so she made things that she liked because she thought, you know, he'll like them. They're good. And at the babysitter made Calvin a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And he comes home describing this amazing sandwich to my parents. And my dad is just staring at my mother like, you have never made our son a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
How old was he?
Probably like 4, maybe 3.
Okay,
I know Calvin Hebert, and he does not get excited.
I was wondering how long this child has been deprived this delicacy.
Well, because the babysitters were whenever he was.
I said what meant.
So I never had peanut butter and jelly growing up. My mom would make peanut butter and syrup. She would put peanut butter like in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
She'd put like pancake syrup in it. Mix it together, which made it really creamy, and then put it on a sandwich and give it to me. I've still never had peanut butter and jelly, I'm pretty sure. Lindsay may have offered it to me. I may have taken a bite, but I don't remember it. So, I mean, I guess I'm one of the unclean because I don't know. All I know is what my mom gave me.
What you said was you didn't like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Well, so if I haven't had it, I don't like it.
Yeah.
He is kind of that way.
Which is, and you know, that's fair. It's not correct.
It's not right thinking.
But I was, because I was going to be like, I was like, who doesn't like, that's how you find the lizard people.
So my mom.
Like, oh no, these are gross. Yeah. I mean, has your mom's eyes changed colors? Like, do you have old family photos and she looks at the camera and there's just like a silver sheen?
And she kind of like shifts like her form a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think your mom did do that once.
Did she?
Yeah. I saw that.
This apparently is a bigger point of contention than I ever thought it was going to be. With chili. We've had chili, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Dad loved chili.
Did you also get just plain, just not jelly, but peanut butter sandwiches with the chili?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Cause this was at work. This was a fight. Like this was.
This was civil war?
This was civil war because, every once in a while, we'll do, like, especially, like, when we were expecting, like, a really busy day, people will bring in food so people can, like, eat throughout the day because we won't have time to order. So one time someone brought in this giant thing of chili. And I said, oh, I wish we had peanut butter sandwiches. Half of the restaurant was like, oh, that would be so amazing. The other half, I basically could have just said, hey, so I passed a frog that got ran over on the road. I'm just going to go eat some of that.
I never had peanut butter sandwiches with chili, but I do remember, like, chili cook-offs type thing or events at typically a church, and they would offer peanut butter sandwiches.
Okay.
So it doesn't sound insane to me. I just never had
it. It's so good.
I don't. What's the connection?
There's something about the smoothness of the peanut butter.
It makes sense.
But I'm not a big fan of chili in general. Like, I like it.
And if you're not like a huge fan of chili, then this isn't gonna.
I like chili.
This isn't gonna
be
like a. This isn't gonna, you know, change your mind on chili. It's just a way to make chili even better, or maybe it makes the peanut butter sandwich even better.
I mean, chili is kind of interesting because there are some chilies where people put chocolate syrup in it. Cincinnati chili has cinnamon.
Brown sugar.
No, probably most chilies have both. Brown sugar. I want to say it's.
There's a buttload of ways to make chili.
You're telling me they put chocolate in the chili?
Yeah. Because it gives it kind of a sweetness. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's chocolate flavored chili, just the sweetness in the chocolate
just a
enhances.
Little bit, yeah.
Okay. Cause when you say it, my first thought
it's not like,
it's like they dump chocolate
it's
in
not
there.
Like
it's
half
it's
of
not
the
like
thing
you're eating a bowl
syrup.
Of Hershey syrup with some, you know, brown beans, chili. Like floating in it, like ground beef and, you know, brown.
Give me one
beans.
Of them chocolate chili beans.
kidney beans and. No, I want to do it.
That's why I don't like going. All right, let's shift talk to like not cooking.
I'm getting real hungry.
And let's talk about places you go to eat because we've never really talked about food on the show. This is a first for us. We've talked about
restaurants and stuff.
Yeah, but we've never given a full. It's been 40 minutes. We've been talking about food.
I mean, to be fair, the first like 15 of that was the self doubt hour.
Was the AC the Ace of Gray hour? That's the reason I don't like going to what is it called Cracker Barrel because that's basically just what my mom cooked. Everything. Like, oh, we can get dumplings here. I can get dumplings at home.
Yeah.
When I go, it's like when I go to the movies. I don't want to see a documentary. Yeah, I don't want homestyle cooking the same way I don't want to see a documentary about Mound City. I know about Mound City. I live there. I want something new and exciting. I want a documentary about Caro.
Well, it's the, I think it's the whole idea of just like, okay, well, I could do this at home or I can just sit down and they just bring it to me. And then when it's dirty, they take it away.
There's also like the college age that doesn't know how to cook.
Yeah, me. I don't know how to cook.
And they're away from home, and they want that type of food.
I have no home.
But it's also like more of the, cause I've had friends that worked at Cracker Barrel, and the majority of the demographic is it's people who go in, it's much older.
Yeah.
It's the Fox News of restaurants.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Cause they go in because they have doctor's appointments, they have early stuff to do, so they don't want to have to get up even earlier to make breakfast. So this is somewhere they can go that it's familiar food. They don't have to worry about, and then it's a chain, so, you know, you're not going to have any kind of sketchiness for the most part.
Right. So I like unfamiliar food.
I do too.
I like to try new things now.
I love trying new food. I'm so mad at myself at how long it took me to want to try sushi.
I've still never tried. Well, I've had sushi. Here was my experience with sushi. It was at the Great Wall. That's all you need to know.
That's incorrect.
Yeah.
If I'm going to try sushi, it has to be like at an actual sushi place, because I know how much I don't really like fish that much, and I might like it more now because I've actually started eating more fish, but it's raw. Typically in America, it's somewhat cooked.
It's got like, there's like a citrus base to it, so the acidity of the citrus cooks away the bacteria, but it's not like a cooked fish.
Yeah.
That's, if you ever, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, there's also some places that actually sell just cooked
sushi.
Mm-hmm.
If there was ever a food that I could put on a list of things Lindsay Wolfgang will never try, it's sushi. It took me years to get her to try Chinese food. And my mom was the same way. She did not want to try Chinese food. And then the moment she had it, her and Lindsay both, it was like you could see their head explode. It was that gift from Scanners.
This is what this is?
This is what good is?
Did I tell the story about, because this is a recent development. I don't know if I told the story on the show or not. But me and Relish.
Have you found a relationship with Relish?
That I figured out what Relish was.
Is it pickles?
Yeah, it's diced pickle.
Yeah,
I legitimately,
like,
for years, it's probably safe to say decades, thought, there's two of them, so it's still plural, that Relish was either sauerkraut or horseradish. One of the two.
Because I've seen
it be put on hot dogs, and I know I hate both of those things. So I just assumed that's what it was. I hate Relish. Went to a barbecue, was super hungry. Someone made me a hot dog. It had Relish on it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be rude. And I'm so hungry. I'll just power through it. What is this? It's Relish.
But why is it?
But why does it taste like pickles?
Because
Relish is just like finely diced pickle spread. Well, I'm stupid. That was the dumbest thing.
I had a hatred for mushrooms. I never liked mushrooms until I'll have it occasionally on accident. Like, mm-hmm. if there's some on my food, I'll go, okay, fine. But we went to, I think it was Allie and I. Please say it was you and you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We went to a place and got food, and I ordered, I think it was, what is it, Ruby Tuesday?
I think, yeah.
And I ordered like a steak or a chicken thing, and it was covered in mushrooms. Mm-hmm. I did not, like, it said it had mushrooms on it, but usually when a place says it has mushrooms on it, they're sprinkled here
it's
and
like
there.
Like three or four, you can just pick
no,
them
this
off.
This one was covered.
This was a layer of roasted mushrooms.
On chicken.
On chicken. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm hungry. I'm mm-hmm. going to give it a chance. And I loved roasted mushrooms. They were so good. A little slimy. So, mushrooms are a
yeah,
little slimy.
See, it's the texture that mostly gets people because they really don't have that much of a taste.
No, and they were roasted, so they had mm-hmm. just a roasty mm-hmm. taste, and yeah. it was really good.
I've slowly started coming around on mushrooms. I've always hated mushrooms, like even when I was a little kid, and it was yeah. specifically the texture. Mm-hmm. I could never do the texture.
That's how I was, and I found out that if it's like in something, I can typically eat it. I don't know if it was just covered on top. If I could though,
I can see them, and like, it normally bothers me.
Going to China Palace, which is I still say the best Chinese food you'll get in Cape Girardeau, especially
disagree.
For the price.
Well,
oh, okay. yeah.
Because, like, do the drive-thru $7 for a giant thing of fried rice? Like, because mm-hmm. there's mushrooms in their fried rice. And one time, one of the first times I went there, I forgot to ask for mushrooms. So I was like, oh, whatever, I'll eat around them. And then one of them snuck in there. And I was like, oh, that's not too bad. Mm-hmm. Okay. No need in making any more hassle. So
I still think Chan's is the best Chinese.
I can't do them on pizza still.
Oh, no. No, pizza has to be literally cheese and pepperoni. I will give you hamburger and bacon.
Barbecue
and pineapple. You can give me that look all you want.
Gordon Ramsay said no.
I don't give up what Gordon Ramsay says. He also screams at children.
No, actually,
he's super nice yeah. to the children.
It's the only people he's nice to. And then when they turn around, he cusses
it's
at
the,
them.
No, the it's children the professionals.
The children deserve to be screamed at.
Because someone often. Asked him, why are you so great with children, but on your other shows,
You're a monster.
You're a monster. He's like, because on my other shows, they're professionals. They're supposed to know what they're doing. The mm-hmm. children have no idea what they're doing.
Oh, see, I always thought it was because the executives told them, hey, let's not yell at the children. Can. But see that fat guy over there?
Mm-hmm.
Make him
cry.
Kill himself. Yeah.
No.
No no pineapples. Though. No thanks. No thanks. No, I'm good. Pizza. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Something I love pineapples.
About Shannon,
I will eat
he
pineapples.
He loves fruit.
I love
but
fruit.
But he cannot mix his fruit.
Don't mix
with
them.
Anything.
Nothing.
Like, he can't mix them together. He can't
yes,
put
so
them
can.
In anything.
So like a fruit salad, but you need it in like
he
individual
need,
quadrants
like the,
separated.
Yes. Yeah.
But I will get down on some fruit. Fruit is my favorite food. Like, if I could just eat watermelon all the time, I would.
I love watermelon.
Because watermelon is delicious. Grapes are delicious. Strawberries are delicious. Kiwis are the best.
Yeah, I was over at Jesse and Andrew's apartment the other day, and Andrew was making a smoothie, and he had like a fruit salad, like pre-made thing. And he's like, there's some kind of green melon looking thing. He's like, oh, it's honeydew. Honeydew's awesome. I love melons.
I like yeah. watermelon. I can't do other melons. Oh, go ahead.
I get a lot of frozen fruits because they mm-hmm. last longer.
I like fresh.
And I like fresh too. Like, I like both, but frozen typically lasts longer.
Well, it doesn't have to last long with me.
And you can always freeze fresh fruit
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you
it,
can.
Again, like.
But it's usually cheaper to get the frozen.
Mm-hmm. You can put any fruit in front of me and I will just tear it apart. Now, mm-hmm. Bob, at one point, we decided, when I worked at Shoe Carnival, we saw this documentary of Something Sick and Nearly Dead. I forget what the first title was, but it was a good documentary. It was about a guy who was dying and he decided to turn to juicing. So Bob decided he would start juicing. And I thought, well, that's great. I'll do it with you because that sounds great. Mm-hmm. We'll have watermelon and grapes. No, that's not what Bob did.
Mm-mm.
We bought a lot of kale.
Yeah. yeah.
Have you ever juiced kale?
He put no yeah, fruit in
it. It's a green
it.
Smoothie.
It's a grass milkshake.
But the thing is, most of the time when people juice kale, they still put other fruits
for flavor.
In it.
Yeah,
but Bob took it straight up with a twist. he was just kale, lettuce. Like, he would put just the greenest of the greens in there, and it was. I have video of it. It's on my old phone. I wish I still had it. I think it's on Facebook. But it was just the most disgusting. I literally had blades of grass sticking out of my teeth after I drank the damn thing. And like, no one's gonna get healthy off that.
No, because that's not what people do.
No.
Did he have any sort of recipe, or did he just literally find the garden and put it into the juicer?
He did what my dad did with a pot with with vegetables. He just grabbed
everything he could. Did five kale.
Yeah.
He didn't mix anything else. There's no apple. There's five kale,
and it was just dubious food. So he decided to add some, like, radishes in there and stuff. And it was just horrible. And I decided to never juice again. I did it for a week. And during that week, we did a truck at the store. And Melissa was there, and Eddie and Jordan and all these guys were there, and they had for lunch Penn Station.
Mm-hmm.
Penn freaking Station with the fries and the sandwiches.
Never been there.
It's really good.
Every time I've seen it, it's just looked kind of like not great.
Very greasy, but it's really good.
I had a little bottle of grass milkshake and some nuts. And that's what I had. And then while we were doing the truck, they were throwing things. I couldn't lift a box.
Juices
I had no energy.
People that juice typically do it as their breakfast, and then they have actual meals.
We did full. Like, breakfast, lunch, everything was juicing.
Yeah, no, that's a cleanse.
Yeah, we were trying to cleanse
okay.
for the first week.
I did a raw food cleanse.
Didn't like it. Did you like it?
No, but I will admit I felt better at, like, day three.
Oh, yeah.
But then, like, day four, I
want to try it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I cut soda out occasionally, and I'll cut it out for a week or 2 weeks, and I'm like, I feel better than I ever did. Like, it's so good without soda. But then we'll go somewhere, and I'll see just a frosty glass of Pepsi, and I'll go, I'll take one. It's just one. And then it starts the process over again, because I'm like, I forgot how good this was.
I've been off of soda since probably before April. So it's been a few months. Sam's Club was like $150 a year. Cause my parents never, but didn't, I think my mom had one for a while. But no one I know really has one, except at work the other day, I was talking to one of my managers and one of the other ladies I work with, and they're like, oh no, Sam's is awesome. You can get, you know, you buy a gallon of milk a week and you've paid for your membership. And I was like, how much is a membership? It's $45 a month. No, a year. Where you been hiding, Sam's? Why do I not know this?
I've never been in.
But so I went in for the first time. I did my membership, and the reason I went is because I needed toilet paper. We had to dip into our emergency reserves. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll get some. Oh, Sam's toilet paper. That'll last me forever. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I got like 45 rolls for like $16.
Don't shake your head yes and look at me. Where's your Sam's Club membership?
But so my mom has one.
You also get two names on your account. So like me and my roommate just split it.
I think I've always had a grudge against Sam's Club because of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I always think, like, you're going to charge me money to shop with you? You go F yourself.
But you get so much stuff.
That's what I've heard. I heard you can get, like, a 42-gallon jar of peanut butter for, like, $6.
I'm going to find out tomorrow because tomorrow's the first day I'm going, actually, like, grocery. But
are you excited?
So a little bit. It's weird. Like, this is adulting, and I hate it.
Yeah.
Like, this is the excitement I had when I was like, ooh, Red Hood just came out. I'm going to stay up till midnight so I can play as him. Okay, that's fine. Sam's Club. Yeah. But as I was walking around, it was like a 15 pack for like $12 of Fitz's. It was like a Fitz combo pack of soda. And I'm like, oh no. Because at Schnucks, Fitz is like $12 for a 4-pack.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can spend the same amount of money and get so much more. And I love Fitz's. But I'm just gonna get the $4 80 pack of bottled water.
Let me tell you something that I found out recently.
Because I've actually, like, I've lost a noticeable amount of weight.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's changed is I'm not drinking soda.
But
I was also drinking a liter of soda a day.
You would come in with a liter
because
of Pepsi.
Because you guys talked about it a couple weeks ago on the Thursday show because I could spend $1.85 on the 20-ounce bottle,
mm-hmm.
or for less, I get so much more.
What's the point?
And I'm not going to spend that extra money for less thing.
Agreed. That's stupid. But instead of dieting, what I found out recently is there is no God. There is no God. There is no point to life. So just, like, indulge in all the things that you've always wanted. Like, if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking about picking up drugs or something like that.
No.
I'll stop.
So back
that's
to
another
Sam's
show for another
Club.
Time.
Anthony Bourdain does have a thing. It's a magnet we have on our fridge. It's your body is not a temple. It's an amusement park. But I love Anthony Bourdain. That man.
Do you? Because I heard he's just the biggest douche.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that. Like,
no,
I'm not trying to take your fun
he
away.
He is. But, like, so the reason people think that is because his show No Reservations on the Travel Channel, he's the guy that if he goes to a place and the food sucks, he literally will, like, he's like, yeah, so we went to this place. It was terrible. Look at this decor. Look at it. Don't come here. Like, there's other better places you can go. But he's hilarious. Like,
he's on CNN now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parts Unknown, I think it's called.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which some of it's on Netflix too. Yeah, if you don't know who Anthony Bourdain is, look him up. He's probably most well known before his TV shows for his book Kitchen Confidential.
Yeah.
Which is just his biography of getting off of drugs, working in kitchens in New York, going to, I think the acronym is CIA. It's the Culinary Institute of America.
You're saying Anthony Bourdain worked for the CIA? Nah.
Technically.
It's a joke. Don't worry about it. Technically. Yeah.
And then he has a bunch of other books. I actually went and saw him in St. Louis because he did a book tour for his Medium Raw. And I was the only one who wanted to go. I couldn't get anyone else to go with me because everyone's like, oh, yeah, he's cool, but I don't want to pay like the $30 to see him. So the couple weeks before and I realized no one was coming with me, I upgraded my ticket to the VIP. So I spent like $80. But I also got a free copy of his book and a meet and greet. So, which the meet and greet was just a line of people, him sitting at a table,
signing books.
And then he signed it. But when I told him where I worked, he was like, ew, why? And it's like, because it's a college town and there's not really a lot of, you know, nice, you know, local restaurants. And he's like, well, get out of there as soon as you can. And he drew this giant butcher knife in my book. So I still have that.
I saw a picture that you were celebrating 10 years at.
Yeah. Got my 10 year pin. Super thrilled about that.
I told everybody when that I saw that, and I was like, that is both a happy and devastating picture.
Mostly one of those.
Yeah. I can't stand to be anywhere too long, personally. I can't.
I'm trying.
I just feel like when you finally plant your feet down and go, okay, this is it. This is my job. This is my home. It's like, might as well be dead. Because now you're not,
like,
and I know that's not true. Like, I know my brain is just broken. Like, everyone always tells me, well, you know, that's not right. And it's the same answer every time. Yes, I know I'm wrong,
but I don't know.
But I don't know. Like, to me, it makes sense. And just because you're all fine and I am twisted.
Well, and part of it is like, I don't like my job. I like where I work. I like the people that I work with. It's just the frustrations that come with the nature of waiting tables.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's not that, it's just like, because I used to hate Cape. I've grown, like, it's not that I like Cape, but there's a lot, I feel like there's more for me here now between CCW and mostly like the show and like the friends group that I've surrounded myself with now. Like, I'm a lot happier in everything except for work. And it's not that whole, like, never ending quest of, oh, well, if I change this one thing, everything will be better. It's just like, no, I've kind of identified what works for me, what doesn't work for me. This is a change I need to make and I'm trying to make, but
I
hire the 5-star man. Do you think it helps that I put that as my name on every resume I fill out?
I do. Okay. I do. And I feel like you should put Podzilla as your best reference.
Yeah.
Oh, tell
yeah.
him to listen to the Thursday show.
No, I'm not on that one.
Kid friendly.
They don't.
So we don't have a lot of time here. We got about 5 minutes left, and I want to use this time to ask the listeners of Podzilla 1985 to go to patreon.com. And here's why. Here's why. I'm going to tell the story. So Jesse Kimball, and this isn't meant, no way, though. This is not me. I'm going to make fun of him. I'm not. Don't, because Asa gets that uh-oh face.
Oh, God.
But that's not going to happen. So Jesse was doing some research, and he posted in that legendary group chat right now called Bubsyzilla 1985 in honor of Bubsy's new game. That's right. They're making a new Bubsy game. If you thought, I think this is what, the fifth or sixth Circle of Hell that's been opened. We're getting close. But he mentioned that he asked if we plug Patreon on PWU, and we don't.
I mean,
we have.
Yeah, we used to a lot. Yeah. Because the running bit was Dalton always messed it up.
Yeah, because Dalton couldn't do the plug.
Yeah.
And eventually we just kind of stopped. And mostly that's because we would always go so late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, we would eat up so much time with content that I didn't want to add an extra 5 minutes to the end to do that. But Jesse plugs it all the time on Nerd Up. Jesse's better about it than I am. That's true. So Jesse made a statement of all the money that's pulling in on Patreon is from Nerd Up, basically. And I wasn't there at the time for that message, but I felt a disturbance in the force, and I felt everyone else in that chat look at me, even though they were nowhere near me. They all kind of looked at me with a uh-oh face, and I wasn't upset by it. I asked Connor, because he was here when he told me about it. I wasn't upset. I sent a message to the group just to mess with Jesse. Jesse sent me an apology. By the way, he didn't have to. Jesse, you didn't have to. I'm not mad. But what I want to do is I want to prove Jesse Kimball wrong. So I want everyone listening to this, if you haven't, please go to patreon.com/podzilla1985. And even if it's just for 1 month, donate something. It can be a dollar.
It can be a dollar. Plus, when you donate that dollar, your name goes on our website forever.
You will always be a part of Podzilla 1985. And together, we can prove to Jesse Kimball that I'm more important. And that's the important thing. So again, patreon.com/podzilla1985. I know you have money because you're listening to this on a phone or a laptop or some kind of entertainment device. And if you have money to buy those, you can donate a dollar to the Patreon. That's patreon.com.
I understand the bit you're doing, but it's making me itchy. Oh, God.
Together, we can do it. Thank you, Podzilla 1985, for your continued support. Okay.
Also, just an easier one is like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/Podzilla1985.
Yes.
Subscribe to us on whatever RSS feed of your choice, be it iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher. I think we're on Stitcher.
What the hell is Stitcher?
It's another just content aggregator for podcasts. Oh, gosh. Because Jesse found a way that he was finding, like, because a lot of our, the bulk of our listeners are downloads from Podbean still, which is great. And if you download us on Podbean, we appreciate it.
Yeah, because I mean it's easy.
But there is, but apparently there are ways that we can kind of track and keep track, and other places will keep track of that as well. So, you know.
Yeah, as much as I want you to actually go donate that money to Patreon.com/Podzilla1985, really, I just want you to keep listening because that's our favorite thing, is that you guys listen to us and we jibber jabber and we try to be entertaining, and we love you guys so much for supporting us. I do want to mention, for those of you that are wondering about updates on me personally, I do want to give an update real quick in case you're wondering. We had the GoFundMe that Jesse was kind enough to set up to help with my medical bills because I do have to have surgery. Now that the move is over, I'm going to get my consultation in the next week or two. That's the plan. And then I will hopefully have surgery sometime soon after that. We raised, I think the last count was about 1500.
It was
a little over 1500.
Because we covered enough that it's not the full surgery, but it is the consultation visit and the down payment that is required.
And then there's another 1000.
Which I know I speak for you and that we can't thank everyone who donated.
No, absolutely not. I actually, at one point, probably after I have the surgery, I'm going to bring in a list of everyone that did donate, if they don't mind. Right. You know,
because some of them were like anonymous donors.
So obviously I know some people that did it that don't want their name out there, and that's fine. I'll respect that. But I do want to give credit to everyone that, good Lord, Broadway's hopping tonight, that helped with this. If you still want to donate, it's still open.
It is still open.
You can find that on our Facebook too.
Yep.
It's on there.
That's still the pinned on the Facebook, on the Podzilla 1985 page.
And I can't describe to you, I'm going to take just the last minute here just to say, I can't describe to you how humbling that was, because I honestly didn't expect to get $50. Not because I don't think people care. I see stuff all the time where it's like, hey, donate to this, donate to that. And I want to, because I like the people involved and I want to help, but I can't. Financially, I can't. I'm strapped. You know, we don't make a lot of money here at Podzilla 1985. This is not, we're not an empire, for the record.
Yet.
So I didn't expect people to do it just based on that. But when I saw the money rolling in and people, you know, that I know, posting money, people I don't know sending money to it, I it's humbling, and I can't believe you guys kept me in your thoughts and prayers like that. And I just want to say thank you so much. It's a truly humbling experience, and I'm a little embarrassed, but I appreciate it. I really do. So that's my piece. And it'll get worse. Wait till after the surgery. One, I'll be doped up, and I'm gonna do a show the day of the surgery. She thinks I'm gonna be in bed for 2 days. That ain't happening. I'm going to be back to work the next day.
No, you're not.
Incorrect. Remember that time I came and kidnapped you?
Oh, I'm very, very aware of that time. Oh,
by the way, not to make you feel bad though, but your ER bill was less than my urgent care bill.
I
with insurance.
I'm hoping. Oh, Jesus, really?
Yep. If I would have lied to St. Francis and said, no, I don't have insurance, it would have cost me like almost $100 less than if they would have just been like, okay, then when I went to Southeast, who takes my insurance?
That's stupid.
Yeah.
That's just.
I'm aware.
Stupid. All right. So, we gotta get out of here. Again, tomorrow night, a special Pro Wrestling Unscripted presents.
Yes.
With Asa Gray hosting. We want to support him because he's gonna knock it out of the park. He better. With Dalton Anthony, along with Southern Discomfort, that's Farmer Billy Hill, Sweet Sarah Summers, and Big Roger Mathis. They're plug their new show, which is an old show that they used to do, and they're doing again, and we're very excited about it. The wrestling world, they're buzzed about this. We're also gonna talk about Stride and whatever else you guys want to talk about. It's up to you. You got free reign on this. I may be here to set it up for you, and probably, I want to meet Roger, cause I've never talked to him, so I'd like to shake his hand, and, get on his good side now.
Right.
So that way I'm not a threat to him later and he doesn't feel the need to kill me. And then on Thursday, we're going to talk about whatever. We're going to have to wait till Sunday to talk about E3. It's killing me because we really want to talk about E3. Last year we did a whole E3 week, remember? Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. We did video game related stuff. I honestly forgot E3 was coming until Monday.
No, yeah, we forgot about that it had start because it was supposed to start like yesterday and today.
Yeah.
That's E3.
Yeah.
But then on Saturday, EA had their panel. And we were just like, okay, so I guess we're talking about this on Nerd Up because
It's like Black Friday. They keep pushing it up more and more, and it's sickening. But we're going to talk about that on Sunday with Jesse. Hopefully, I'll be there.
Giant Size Nerd Up, I believe, is what it's going to be billed as.
Giant Size Nerd Up, Pro Wrestling Unscripted Super Show. Thursday never goes long. Everybody's waiting to get out of there as fast as they can. So we'll see you guys. I'll see you on Thursday. Asa will see you tomorrow. And otherwise, have a great night and wish us luck. Asa.
Oh, please wish me luck. Oh, God.